Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. Have you ever wondered what God is up to or where He is during a tough time? Well, I have struggled with that many times, including today when I woke up with no voice, but I had to record today in order to get you this episode on time. So please bear with me for the intro because the conversation with Julie Sunny will be worth it. Julie is talking about her story and what she learned while writing her newest book, Sometimes I Forget, 60 Reminders of Hope for Your Hard Days. Julie is no stranger to heartbreak and long-suffering and admits to moments of doubt and questioning. She shares the life lessons she learned in those dark seasons, including how faithful and trustworthy God is once you know His character. For a free, printable version of Hope, you can get to my website, lisagranger.com. I would love to keep in touch and encourage you. And now on to the conversation with Julie Sunny. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. We have Julie Sunny with us today, and I am looking forward to our conversation. Thanks so much for joining us today, Julie.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Lisa. Love to be here.
Yes. Well, I am looking forward to this. I already know you a little bit. We've had the pleasure of meeting at the Speak Up Conference, but I would love for everybody else to get to know you a little bit. So tell me a little bit about yourself and something fun that isn't normally in your bio.
Well, I've had quite the journey. I was raised on a farm in Iowa and had five siblings, and my husband and I have raised four children, three boys and a girl. Mm-hmm. And I suppose one of the things that is interesting about my background is my husband and I spent most of our married life living in state parks. My husband is a park ranger, so we raised our children in state parks. So what's kind of interesting is we both have a fish and wildlife biology background.
But
I've only used it just rarely. So I ended up being a teacher and now I'm a writer. And so who knows? You never know where God might lead you.
Yes, you never know how He puts those pieces together. But that sounds wonderful. Growing up in state parks. So you definitely had some beautiful scenery to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're here to talk about, you are about to release a book, and it is a devotional, and it's called Sometimes I Forget. And you talk about different attributes of God, and I would love to know the story behind the story. So why did you start to write this devotional, or why did you feel led to do this?
Well, my whole writing kind of came out of a journey of loss and then also blessing. Mm-hmm. I experienced five miscarriages throughout my childbearing years, I guess you could say. And we had five live births, so blessing. But within those as well, we had some disability. And my daughter specifically, our only daughter, has lifelong disability. She's mm-hmm. got a lot of intellectual delays. And so she is really, going to be 26 here soon, but she's she functions on about a 3-year-old level still. Wow. So, and her name is Rachel. Mm-hmm. And so my son encouraged me to start blogging back in 2011. So I started writing very hesitantly. I did not really want to do that. Probably a lot of people.
Yeah. The kicking say that and same screaming. Thing. Okay, fine. Yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord.
Exactly. But it really became something that I started enjoying doing, and I felt mm-hmm. it seemed to be encouraging people. So I continued to do that. Well, as Rachel aged, she did not keep up with her peers, and that became mm-hmm. just a whole raising a child with disabilities, especially to the point where it's so obviously different. And, you know, we're struggling to try to find stuff that would help. We didn't have a diagnosis, still don't have a diagnosis for why she's delayed.
Wow.
So significantly. And what really weighs the most as she began to get older into her high school years and even into graduation was her future and what that might look like. And she still lives at home with us. And, mm-hmm. you know, we don't see a different future at this point for her. But, you know, what's going to happen when my husband and I are gone? And that at times just really hits me. And at this particular time, I was really lamenting to myself that, what's going to happen with her? And I was writing a blog post and I just started pouring my heart to him. And it was kind of in a prayer where I was sort of reminding myself, in fact, it seems like most of what I write is because I need to hear it basically.
Yes. So I understand that.
I just started pouring out, you know, oh, what's going to happen with Rach? And then it's like, sometimes I forget, Lord, that you are sovereign and that you have her life in your hands and that you are in total control. And sometimes I forget that you're loving and you love her far more than I do. And sometimes I forget that you're unchanging and will always be there. And sometimes I forget, you know, so all of the, yeah. I just started pouring out and I did, it wasn't super long, but it was the beginning. And so when we were, when I was trying to think of a book that would really resonate that other people needed to hear, that I kept coming back to that and how important it was that we remind ourselves of who God is, because yes, he promises us. And most of us talk as Christians, we talk about his promises and we know his promises, but honestly, until I really started to know the God who made those promises, it was hard to trust some of them for me. It, it seemed like they were for everybody else.
Yeah.
And when I looked at that, it was like, but where is the fulfillment of those promises for me? And how can I count on that? Well, I can count on that because once we get to know the God that we serve, then we know that he is trustworthy. He is faithful. And so no matter what it looks like to me or what I might feel in the moment, the truth remains that he is faithful. And those promises are for me and for you, and that he'll carry through, even if it doesn't look the way that I think maybe it should look.
Yeah. And I think you hit on that part, you know, that sometimes you forget, and it is, it's so easy to forget when the circumstances around us are not looking like, you know, you wrestled with those questions that I think a lot of us do have. I mean, just looking at the news or looking at our own circumstances, and we kind of go, how can a good God let that happen? I know I've struggled with that to one degree or another at different times in different situations. You struggle with those, and yet you still come back to, as you said, what the truth of it, because God is truthful. Tell us a little bit more, because I do love those questions that you brought up and that you came back to the truth of it.
Yeah. It is good to question, and it's okay to question. And I think God, that's the first thing I think we need to establish, that it's okay for Christians to question. In fact, it's good. If you're not questioning, you maybe don't care enough or something. I don't know.
Okay. There's a good perspective.
Yeah. You know, I think it's good to question, but what we have to keep coming back to is who this God is. And what I think about when someone asks me about that and the suffering and how can a good God allow that, we have to remember that this is God.
Yeah.
And if we could really understand God and his reasoning and all of his ways, he really wouldn't be worth serving or worshiping in my mind, because he wouldn't be much of a God.
Yeah.
If my little pea brain can understand what God is doing, then, you know, he's not very powerful and not very omniscient and not, you know, but he is all of those things. And the Bible repeatedly talks to those characteristics of God, those attributes of God, that he is omniscient. He knows things that we could not even, we can't even think to question, because we don't even know what that might question.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting as I dove into this book, and I'll have to tell you kind of an interesting, funny little tidbit about the book. I proposed to the publisher 30 attributes of God. They came back and said, well, how about 60 attributes? And, you know, my infinite wisdom here says, well, 60, that's no problem. Of course I can do 60. You don't know how hard it is to try to understand God until you try to figure out 60 attributes.
60 different attributes. Yes, you're definitely pulling out the thesaurus.
And it was one of the best deep dives, though, because it really made me dig deep into what some of these attributes of God means. You know, that his immanence is as just as important as his immutability, which his immutability is an unchanging nature. His immanence is his closeness. His transcendence is that he's otherworldly and beyond us.
Yes.
All of those things work in tandem to make a God who's both near to us, but yet far enough away that he is someone we worship and a being that we can look to for all of our needs. He's sinless. He's holy, righteous. So we never have to question whether what he allows or the things that he does in our life or the promises he makes or fulfills, that those aren't good, because he cannot be anything but good. That's his nature, and his kindness, his compassion. We see it when we start really looking at who God is. We can't always see it in our circumstances, and I get that. And those circumstances can be incredibly painful and suffering. My circumstances haven't gone away. I have a 26-year-old daughter who is it functions on about a three-year-old level. What her future looks like. We have three boys who cherish her and they can live independently and have promised us to take care of them. But that doesn't guarantee what's going to happen in the future. But I have a guarantee from God that he will be with her. And since he's infinite and omnipresent, he's going to be everywhere. He's never pulled in too many directions. He's always going to be in the future before we even get there, whatever that means. And we don't have to understand. That's the beauty of it. We don't have to understand God to trust him, because we can understand a little bit about what his character is. And God and the Bible clearly reveals many things about God. It doesn't reveal all of them. There's mystery there. And that's another attribute. He's mysterious. Mm-hmm. But that also can bring us comfort, because that mystery means there's stuff we can't understand. And if I could understand all about this life and it still happened this way, it'd be pretty tragic.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. And you've mentioned Rachel several times, and no one would ever wish that their child had these delays and the disabilities. But you also talk about the blessings that have come along with that. So could you share some of the blessings that maybe you would have missed out if Rachel had just been born and not had any delays and been what other people consider a normal, healthy child?
Well, I'll begin it with this, the way that my boys had told me a long time ago. I asked the boys, they were still, quite young. Maybe my oldest was in double digits. And I said, would you want Rachel to be normal? What do you think? You know, if she would be normally developing, what would you like that? And the boys looked at me and they said, Mom, if Rachel was normal, she'd be a pain.
Spoken like a true brother.
Yeah. And they said she wouldn't be Rachel. She'd just be a pain. And I love that perspective that she wouldn't be who she is. She wouldn't be who she was created to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that she doesn't bother them at times or didn't when they were growing up. Of course they did. But they really saw that the blessing she is. And that's what we have to look. She brings so much joy. She likes to joke, even though a lot of times she doesn't really get what she's you know, doing or saying. She's very, very loving. She notices things to the point where I would say next to God, she's almost unconditionally loving. She will go up to people who, this is confession time. This is sad for me to say, but you know, I might walk the other side of the street to kind of, because this person might look scary or someone I don't want to be around. And she would walk right up to them and hug them. She doesn't care what their past is. She doesn't care what they're doing. None of that. She just loves them. And it's such a beautiful thing to witness and so convicting, honestly.
Yeah.
She notices the little things and appreciates the little things. The raindrops, when the sun peeks out, when the moon, she loves seeing the moon. The things that we often take for granted, she notices. The compassion, the empathy that she's developed in me, my faith, I would not be the person I am today without Rachel in our lives. I can guarantee that. She's a beautiful tool in God's hands, honestly.
Yeah, to kind of chisel away maybe some of that other stuff that God said, you don't need this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's beautiful, because it is challenging, but I love that you're able to look at all of the blessings that have come about. And sometimes you look at people like Rachel and they don't have a care in the world. They can just enjoy it and be joyful. And you're like, so who's really better off here? Because I'm like staying up at night churning over all this other stuff. And they're just peacefully sleeping away. And
sometimes you go, and even through,
you know, maybe they got the right idea.
Yeah, for sure. And you see it, you know, even the people that she brought me around the Special Olympics, you see it in the way they all just rejoice in what they can do, where we're like, you brought up perfection before we got on the air. And we're so consumed with perfection and getting everything just right. And we can't celebrate until it's a completely accomplished, or we do the perfect thing. We score the goal we needed to or whatever. Rachel and her peers, her Special Olympic peers, they rejoice when they just kick the ball. They rejoice just to be in front of people, just to be celebrating who they are. It's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful to see.
Yeah. I mentioned that was the Michael J. quote you put on the devotion that said, God is perfect. And the quote you used was, I am careful not to confuse excellence with perfection. And excellence I can reach for. Perfection is God's business. And I read that. I was like, I think I need to highlight this one because she is stepping on my toes. I am a recovering perfectionist. And definitely there is a difference between that striving for excellence or striving for perfection. Because, perfection is just not attainable. It's never will be. And yet we still try. It's just kind of crazy, but yet God is perfect and we can keep reaching for that and trust him in that.
And that's another whole reason we can trust him, because he is perfect. Mm-hmm. He's not going to make a mistake. I mean, we make mistakes right and left, but he never will. So often you hear Christians quote, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, because we can't see it. Some of it is just impossible for us to understand it. Like I said before, you cannot understand, you can't even know the questions to ask because you can't understand, because you don't know, you haven't seen the future. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen 1,000 years in the past.
Yeah.
God knows it all.
Yeah. And you don't know all the backstory behind the cashier's day.
Right. Yeah. Just those little things, you know, whenever someone is not behaving or they're acting in a way that you don't think there's something going on.
Yeah.
You know, bullies, there's always something in their life that causes them to act that way.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it right or even excuse it, but there is something going on in everybody's life.
Yeah.
And so we need an anchor, and the only anchor that's never going to fail us, that's always going to be there, because he's unchanging. He's not going to become different in 100 years. Mm-hmm. So at 1,000 years or what, infinity, he's always going to be the same. So that's our one anchor that we have. It's a beautiful way to discover a peace and a joy that goes far deeper than circumstances. And it's it's not to say that I never have tears. Oh my, you read my book. Yeah. Lots of tears.
You did.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen
lots of tears, lots of mistakes, lots of missteps, lots of concern, but deep down, when I really sit with God, I know I'm going to be okay. Rachel's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because God has it all. He's not caught by surprise. He's not, you know, what happened? You know,
I didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that. No, he knows it. And he's got it planned. And so we can rest in that. We don't always have to like it either. That's another thing. We don't have to like it.
No, well, that's good, because I don't always like it.
Exactly. We won't always like it.
I don't always like it.
We won't always like it. That's right. That's right. But then that helps us celebrate the things we do like more.
Yes.
And notice those blessings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll think about when I'm sick. I hate being sick. But I'm so much more appreciative when I'm healthy then.
This is true.
Or look at the spring. When the spring comes. A lot of us, I like winter, so I'm different, but a lot of us don't like winter. And so
there's some parts of winter, fires and cozying up, and I have some nice sweaters. There's some things about winter.
That's right.
There's something about every season. But yeah, that springtime when the trees, I drove down and the trees have popped in one part, and then the daffodils are blooming in one section of town. And there's just that, that's beautiful and all that. Now, I know you mentioned really, you know, diving in and looking at all of these different attributes of God really, really worked on you.
Yeah.
Were there some that kind of, for whatever reason, I know there's 60 of them. We can't talk about all of them. You've mentioned several. But I'm curious as to, I know for me, some of the ones that have stood out for me was I like God is creative. I mentioned the flowers and I look at the animals and I look at nature and people. And I love that God is creative. That was one of the ones that I went, oh, I like this one. And that he's the light. And there's so many different things about God that I kind of went, that one. I was like, yeah. And then, wait a minute. Every now and again, one would kind of go, Which what were some of those qualities for you that kind of went, I mean, they're all great. They're all great. So but which one of them kind of sparked a little more for you?
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult to grab onto. But one of them that I really like is that he's victor. He's the victor, and he has victory over all of. And that's something when you're in the midst, especially if you're. I think if you're in more of a kind of even like a spiritual battle, or or you have relationship issues, I think that's a good one to hold on to.
Yeah,
that he does win. Really, I know a friend of mine is in just some horrendous health battles, but God does win. You know, whether the healing is on this. On earth here, or it's in heaven, he does win. He has defeated death. So death is an enemy, but death does not win.
Yes.
So because yes, for a Christian, even when we die, we live forever. So that one I think is especially welcoming. And one that's kind of interesting, I don't talk a lot about, but even his wrath, his righteousness, his holiness, they kind of all go together in his justness. They kind of all go, well, they all do go together anyway,
all come together. It's a total package.
Yeah. But to think about how, when we're wronged, there is an answer for that. And it doesn't have to come from us.
Yeah.
God is holy and righteous and just and wrathful. He holds all of that. And the beauty of his wrath is that for Christians, we don't face it anymore. He's taken that wrath,
yes,
and Jesus has taken that wrath for us. So as Christians, we don't have to be concerned with that. But when we look at the evil in the world, God is still working and his wrath is still very evident and very there. And that evil does not win.
Yeah.
And so even his wrath can be looked at in a beautiful light, in a hopeful light as well.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of his transcendence. One of them that I guess I hold on to and probably refer to the most is his immutability, which is his unchangeability.
Yeah,
I love that one because that just kind of, to me, it almost like holds them all together because none of them change then because he doesn't change.
Yeah. And I had mentioned, I'd heard you mention the unchanging or the unchangeability of God. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, when is she going to say that one? Because she's mentioned that one already a couple of times.
Yes.
So that
his transcendence.
Yeah.
His transcendence is wonderful because it goes far beyond anything. Mm-hmm. It's very otherworldly. It's far beyond what we can imagine. But then you pull back to his immanence, not eminence, but immanence with an I, and that means he's near to us. So he's both far and near, which is another really neat aspect.
Yeah. I don't remember thinking that I'd seen the Jehovah Shema. Is that how you, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
I'm not even sure.
I'll just say it's
that sounds
Jehovah
right.
Shema.
That
and, sounds but good. The Jehovah is there. I've heard of several other versions, but I was like, I don't think I'd come across this one, but I like that one.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned, you know, him being near to us, but yet far enough away that we can still worship him. And that one kind of stood out to me as far as one of those things. And I also loved, I think it was under God is light. You talked about with your glasses. How, you know, we can talk about all these attributes of God and how wonderful it is and everything else, but until we actually take it in and start using it, it doesn't really do us a whole lot of good. Like believing that Jesus is there, well, even the demons believed Jesus was the Son of God, but they weren't going to follow him.
Right.
So just believing or knowing he's there or having a Bible doesn't do it unless we open it and read it. So can you talk to us about that for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. God's light is very illuminating in more ways than one. It illuminates our sin, but it also illuminates a path.
Yeah.
And in that particular devotion, I was talking about my glasses when I was in, I think it was sixth grade. I ended up getting glasses. And so, you know, I still have glasses and if I take them off, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good. I actually have to put them on. And that's exactly what you're referring to. That's where I talk a lot about when we know God, and that's what this book has done for me too. Just did the research for the book has done for me is it's opened up so much more illumination about who God is.
Yeah.
And that has helped, that has grown my faith and helped me trust him even more when those sudden unexpected things or those long-term never-ending battles we have, when those continue and we don't see an ending, when we can know God more, we can trust him better. We can trust him more deeply. And that goes back to that whole light, that whole, when we open our Bible, that's how we get to know him. Faith comes by hearing. So when we hear, when we go into church and we hear the word spoken and a biblical message true to the word, those things really work in us to show us more of who God is, what his character is, so that we can. God didn't put the things in the Bible by accident. They're there because it's enough. And we don't know everything. I've been watching, it's not a plug for it, but I've been watching parts of The Chosen and really enjoying that. And they flesh out the stories.
I like that.
It's extra biblical where they flesh out the stories. Now we don't know, that Peter acted show in the show. It's a show, but at the same time, the things that are in the Bible is exactly enough. It's exactly what we need to illuminate enough of God so our faith can grow and we can trust in him. He's provided enough for us there. He's not provided necessarily everything we want. I would love to have had some of the backstories of some of the people in the Bible. But it's enough for our situations. It's enough for our life.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, as we start to wrap up, what would you say to encourage someone to pursue that passion that God has placed in their hearts?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is check your heart, honestly. Mm-hmm. Check your heart and make sure that your heart's desires is in line with the Bible, with the truth of the Bible, with what Scripture tells us and what God reveals to us. Because God does not mince words. Our heart can be very deceitful. In fact, the most deceitful. If we're not in the Word and we're not basing our lives biblically and on the Lord and letting him lead us. So once, if you can check your heart and make sure that what you're doing is in line with Scripture and what God seems to want for your life, then I would say, pray about it and follow it one step at a time and be willing. In my pursuit of this authorship, I guess you would say, this author journey, this writing journey, there was times I really was not in check with God. I was not in step with God. And I thought I was, it was what I wanted. It all looked good. But what I was getting a feeling of just not comfortable with that and just becoming anxious about it. And when I really thought about it and prayed about it, I was running way ahead of where God wanted me at that time. Okay. And so I really kind of took a step back from that and had to check my spirit again and just let him lead me. So there's so many different aspects of where that desire of your heart may go. You may think it's going to become, you're going to become the next, I don't know, Ann Voskamp or whatever, but
I have no aspirations for that.
Yeah. But God may have you equally important, serving those 100 people that have subscribed to your blogs or that follow you on social media that are equally important. Yeah. I was just talking with a gentleman about this. He was talking about just the numbers and how writers get really caught up in numbers. And I think we all can. It's that accolade. It's that perfection, maybe that desire for perfection and the pursuit of that. And how as Christians, we really need to continue to watch that we're not getting caught up into that, into what looks good, but maybe necessarily isn't, that we're driven by something that's not God-led.
Yes, I guess, is what I would say. Well, Julie, if somebody wants to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. Well, you can find me pretty much all over the social media sites. But what I'd really direct you is one place in particular is juliesunny.com, my website, juliesunny, and that's SUNNE.com. You can find I blog there. You can find all of my social media connections there too, if you want to. You can subscribe and you'll get some freebies and you'll get a message from me mostly every month. I'm trying to be better about that, but I am not perfect.
Yes, there we go. We're all trying to grow. Yeah, no, that's great. Well, Julie, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's just been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to walk closer with God. And to help give you some more hope, I have a free printable version of 8 versions of hope on my website, lisagranger.com. When you go to the website, click on Verses of Hope and claim yours now. These are some of my favorite verses on hope that have spoken to me and touched my heart, and I want to share them with you. God's word is so powerful and can do more than you could ever imagine. I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.